Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Can you hear me now? There we are. That's better. Hopefully this is recording because we need it to record.
Let me say a few more words just to make sure it gets my voice.
Okay. The podcast is important.
I'm Dan Nalen, and you have tuned into the 100th episode of Soundwaves from the Underground podcast, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it's one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, subculture, food, you name it. There's everything in there. Unbelievable to make it 100 episodes. I've been here for about a third of those. Kudos to everyone who came before. Gavin Sheehan, the producer. JP, our old host. Amazing we made it this far. On this episode, we are going to talk with Boulder punk rock band Call of the Void. We have Yelp Utah's Jeffrey Stedman coming in to talk about brand new restaurants all over the Salt Lake Valley. And Jimmy Martin comes in to tell us all about the highlights and the lowlights of the summer movie season. When I think of Boulder, Colorado, I think, well, mostly I think about weed and whatnot, but I think of Call of the Void, a hardcore punk band from there that came to Salt Lake City recently to record their debut album with our very own Andy Patterson in his South Salt Lake studio. The record was released earlier this year on Relapse Records. They even used local artist Anthony Lucero for the artwork. Slug writer Peter Fryer sat down and talked with the lead singer Steve Vanica to talk about the album and what's happening with the band today.
How long have you guys been playing?
As we are right now with myself in the band and Alex Pace, our bass player, I think just a little over 2 years at this point. We kind of had a run of shows for a while and then quit playing and then got back and finished up a record and got that put out, and it's been a little over 2 years since we've been going at it. They've been playing longer together than I've been in the band. But.
And you guys all have kind of a long history sort of in the Denver music scene, right? Everybody's sort of been in different bands with one another, things over the years.
It always seems like, it was surprising when I thought that we had never toured before, because it seems like we would have, but it's like we would had all been touring in our different bands. You know, I've been in two different hardcore bands, Bank Robber and Perspective, and, you know, done tours with them, and Alex, you know, has been, you know, he's in six or seven different bands or something at any given time. He's done tours with, you know, Diarrhea Till You Die and any one of his other bands, and Patrick and Gordon and Black Sleep Akali, and they've done, you know, some touring and, you know, a lot of shows and everything. And so, yeah, we've been quite active in our in different projects. So it's kind of cool to, like, all come together and use our, like, collective years of doing different bands and, like, really focus in and hone in on this one band.
I see your name everywhere. When I, you know, when I'm at work not working, I'm pretty much surfing blogs, and you guys have, you know, the press machine has been out in full force for you guys. How is
great.
That? Is that like
the press machine is the coolest thing? I mean, it can be a double-edged sword, I think, at times, but it's a really cool thing. Doing, you know, the other bands that I've been in for a while, and doing all the, you know, press, I guess, on our own, you don't get a lot of attention, but when you have a label like Relapse and their, you know, press company behind you and everything, it's cool to see your name out there, and they really do a fantastic job of just getting, you know, getting your music into different people's ears, you know, whether it's through blogs or radio or, you know, just different podcasts and things. It's just cool to see it out there, and they're always trying to get different, you know, people to review it and check it out and, you know, do a write-up on it, and it's been wild. I mean, just to Google the band name and not have something, like, completely foreign come up like that. I mean,
or just the Facebook page.
Or just the Facebook page. To see it, you know, on Metal Sucks or, you know, Metal Injection, or see, you know, a review from Brooklyn Vegan or Invisible Oranges or that kind of thing. It's awesome. I mean, it's what we all want.
yeah. You guys have been, it's been pretty impressive, the sort of quick trajectory up that you guys have, like.
It was very quick.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. You played South by Southwest, and I know a few folks actually from the magazine caught you guys there and thought the show was really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
So how was that playing at South by Southwest?
Oh,
was that just like
it was awesome.
Insane?
We did four days there, just four shows. We didn't do the multiple shows per day like some of the bands were doing, but it was enough being there for 4 days. We played, you know, anything from Sony Stage, I was on a rooftop with, like, Junius and Life Once Lost and Power Trip, to Austin Java, to a little DIY kind of, you know, DIY show and seeing that aspect of it. And then we played the Relapse Showcase, which was fantastic. That put us right in front of, you know, the right people, I think. You know, definitely the people from our label and just different people in the industry, which was really cool to play for, and a lot of fans, and it was a fantastic show. And we had a good time. We were ready to leave by the last day, to say the least.
Yeah.
But the shows were great. It's an overwhelming experience. I don't know how people stay longer and play more shows.
In reading reviews, you're kind of talking about the band. Your vocal style is probably more akin to, because prior to this, you primarily played in hardcore bands.
Yeah.
The guys, other guys in the band, some of their band sounds are more, I'd say, sort of in the vein of like Isis-y stuff that came out. So where do you guys find that your niche is where you're most comfortable playing? Because you sort of have, there's some grind elements, there's some hardcore elements, there's definitely some like very just metal elements. Where do you feel most comfortable?
I think honestly we feel comfortable doing it all. Like, we don't want to be pigeonholed into, you know, one thing or the other. We don't want to be too all over the place. We're not going to write a power ballad and then write a grindcore song. But it's like, I think we feel comfortable blending all the different elements of the music we're into, the music we've played in different bands for years. You know, I did come from a hardcore background, which, you know, is somewhat limiting in some respects, and you know, a good foundation for the kind of music we're playing now. You know, the other guys that came from, you know, more metal backgrounds or grind backgrounds, and, you know, it's a good mix of it, because, you know, we can do blast beat grindcore stuff and then break it down and do, you know, heavy hardcore, do a doom part. So I think we're really where we are comfortable is definitely just blending everything together and kind of bridging some gaps and kind of being a band that can fit in with different shows, you know, at any given time, you know, playing a metal show or playing a hardcore show or, you know, a grind show or a doom show. I feel like we can be versatile. You know, we're not going to change our sound or our style to fit one specific thing, but we feel definitely comfortable doing it all.
So I want to talk to you a little bit, because the magazine Sled's based in Salt Lake, obviously, and you guys, the band has pretty, particularly with the album, has a lot of ties to Salt Lake. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what made you guys sort of drift to recording in Salt Lake with Andy Patterson. Your artwork is from Anthony Lucero. Where'd all that come from? How come there instead of recording somewhere here in Denver or going to, you know, California or Portland or...
I think when it came down to that decision, it wasn't really much of a choice. We just were like, we're going to record with Andy Patterson. So I think that's where they did the first demo of the songs before I put any lyrics to it. They did it with Andy, and I think they'd recorded some other stuff with Andy. And our friends in Gaza recorded there, and we just had, you know, we love the sound that comes out of his studio and what he's able to do, you know, for bands. And, you know, he's awesome to work with, and he's a great, you know, engineer and producer at times, and puts us up in his house and takes care of us, and it's a very like comfortable process, and we're really relaxed in the studio. I mean, we're friends, so it's kind of, he can tell us when something could sound better and, you know, tell us to do something again, and there's no egos and nothing gets in the way. So it's kind of a, you know, an easy thing for us to do. And they're close, you know, it's within a day's drive. And kind of being in Denver, you're on an island of sorts where nothing's really that close to you. It's like everything's, you know, 6 to 8 hours away. And it's like, well, we could go all the way out to California. It's going to be a ton of money and gas. And is the recording quality going to be any better? Probably not. We'd rather work with Andy. He's a great dude. And back to Gaza, you know, good friends of ours, Gordon and Patrick, have known those guys, you know, a lot longer than I have, but they have a great relationship working with them. And talked to Anthony Lucero, and was just, you know, he's a fantastic artist, and we're like, hey, you want to do the artwork for it? And this was, you know, before Relapse, before any of that. We were just going to get the record done by ourselves, and, you know, he did the whole layout, and we were beyond, you know, stoked about it. It's obvious, you know, to go with him. It's just evil, dark imagery. It's perfect. I mean, and is a good friend and easy to work with, so just kind of keep it close to home, close to the family, you know.
Yeah. What's some of your, when you guys aren't recording in Salt Lake, you guys do you guys ever get out on the town, check stuff out?
Anything
you're into there?
We like to go around Salt Lake, and you know, every time I'm there, I've tried to get us to go to the Rose Establishment, which is what I've heard is a great coffee shop. Haven't been there. Every time my one mission in life. Well, we've gone to, you know, the Park Cafe for breakfast. The place is great, and, you know, check out the city, and it's kind of similar to Denver in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, we always, you know, get the, ooh, the Mormon thing. And I don't really care about the Mormon thing. That's whatever, that's their thing. But the city's great. It's beautiful and good food and friendly people, and the shows we've played there and watched have been great. You know, people are really into the bands and they're really into their music, and, you know, there's a lot of great bands that have come out of Salt Lake, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like over the years, Denver and Salt Lake have kind of had sort of a sister city thing going on. A lot of bands.
Yeah,
I remember being in college, bands would come out from there and play here, or we'd go back to Salt Lake and check bands out and stuff. It's a cool relationship. You've just released pretty recently a His Heroes Gone cover.
Yep.
And then you had guest vocals also on that.
Mr. Ethan McCarthy.
Yes.
Clinging the Trees of the Forest Fire, Primitive Man.
Yeah. For those in Salt Lake that don't know, talk a little bit about Ethan and why that's kind of a big deal to have him on the track.
He's a fantastic friend. I've known him before I was in Call of the Void, you know, when I was booking a lot of hardcore shows. You know, he was running the Blastomat at that time that I met him. Before that, you know, he had other venues like Monkey Mania that he ran, and he's always, I think, been a staple, and, you know, his bands aside, just a staple in the DIY scene in Denver, you know, as far as starting venues and booking shows and playing in bands and bringing new bands to town. It's like he's been, you know, amazing with that. Booking bands that are outside of his, you know, his genre, you know, and taking risks and, you know, being really accommodating. So, and, you know, obviously Clinging to the Trees of the Forest Fire, it's a great band. And I think they've done a lot, you know, for the grind scene in Denver and bringing bands, you know, to our city that are friends of theirs, and really cool to see. But it was really cool having him on, you know, doing the majority of the vocals on that His Heroes Gone cover. He's such a powerful vocalist. It was really cool. Recorded it, the vocal part of it, at his old space, which was Aqualung. And so we just set up the vocal, you know, the microphone in the middle of the room, and because we already recorded the track with Andy, and so we just recorded the vocals there, and I think the sound came out really cool. There's a lot of, like, natural reverb in the room, and, I mean, he just gets it with his voice anyway, because it's just so loud.
He's a pretty imposing fellow. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to just come in and quietly talk into the microphone now after you just destroyed it, so thanks a lot there. But we were really, really happy with how it came out. I didn't know if that was going to get finished or not. You know, we had that lingering for a while, and, you know, had different ideas of people to do vocals for it, and approached Ethan, and he was all about it, and we were all about it. So, yeah, happy with the result of that.
That's cool. And so then that track is a bonus track?
It's right a bonus on... track. I believe it's just a digital bonus track. It's not on our vinyl. I believe it's on the Japanese release as a bonus track too. But definitely, I believe when you buy the digital from Relapse or from iTunes, you get the His Heroes Gone cover, which is Headless Heartless.
Yeah, yeah. So why His Heroes Gone? I mean, it's a pretty natural decision for a cover,
mm-hmm,
for your band. But, you know, is there an affinity for His Heroes Gone versus another band from the that influenced you guys? Or
I mean, they picked that song before I was in the band, and they recorded it and practiced it and rehearsed it. And I mean, I'm obviously a His Heroes Gone fan, and it fits really well with our band. And the song Headless Heartless is it kind of goes with our album. As far as the theme of the album goes, it's not a concept album, but it's just more, it just has overarching themes to it. You know, Headless Heartless is, you know, essentially about machinery, you know, taking over our existence and us becoming less human. And I think that has a lot to do with drag down a dead end path, and it's just kind of, we're being dehumanized. And so that was a good fitting song to cover. And I fell in love with that song even more after I relearned it, and they recorded it again. And, you know, every time I heard it, I'm just like, man, I wish this was our song. This is such a great song.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick definitely added some guitar, you know, guitar stuff to it that made it, you know, a little bit special, not just a straight cover. He added just, you know, a little bit, you know, of our flavor you know, so it's just not, you know, recreating a song that's already been done.
We're going to listen to a track from the album called Drag Down a Dead End Path. This is Call of the Void's Endless Ritual Abuse. Call the Void is going to be playing Lucifest on June 8th at the Salt House. To read more about the band, make sure to check out our review of their South by Southwest show in our April 2013 issue. To purchase or download the album, visit relapse.com or callofthevoid303.bandcamp.com. And for more information about the group, be sure to visit them online at facebook.com/callofthevoid303. We once again welcome the one and the only Mr. Yelp Salt Lake City. Mr. Yelp Utah? What's more accurate there, Jeffrey?
Just the Yelp guy.
Utah. Jeffrey Stedman here to fill us in on some of the brand new joints around town. And, you know, this is our 100th episode, and you've been a significant part of this building of this amazing podcast here, so we appreciate you joining us once again.
That's really heartfelt. I appreciate that. Why you tried to kiss me on the way in? That was awkward.
I do that to everybody who comes in. If we can lure them to the basement studio, I'm going in.
I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna delve into places that are literally like brand new the last few months or so, maybe last 6 months or so.
Let's see
what the Yelpers are turning us on to today.
Yeah, that's it. I try to do this every 6 months. So if you get the weekly Yelp newsletter, I do about every 6 months I go through and wrap up kind of some of the highlights. Now, there's tons of new places, right?
Always.
There's this little feature on the site where it's like hot new businesses. You can see what's opened. Like, you know, there's like 20 or 25 listed there. So I'm just trying to cull some of the most interesting or some of the stuff that I think is getting a lot of love and attention.
Excellent. Where do we start?
So, yeah, let's start. Homemade. That's two words, H-O and then M-E-I. Not homemade, but homemade. It's 3370 South State, 3.5 out of 5. Now, they've had up and down reviews. I got to be honest. It's an Asian barbecue, which is really interesting, except that Alice Y actually says, yeah, I like the Asian barbecue. She says, but the real star here is the home-style Chinese cooking. Don't order off the menu, she says. Just let the server bring what she thinks you'll like.
All right.
And I've done that in a lot of places. That's how she discovered a fish, pickled cabbage, and tofu soup that is just, in her words, sensational. So,
damn.
Yeah, I mean, Asian barbecue, very interesting.
Yeah.
But also, you know, anytime you can pick up some really good, fun Asian food, then, you know, go for it.
I like rolling the dice with the experts who work there often, yeah. Right? At any restaurant. Like, what are you telling me to get?
You know,
let's see what we can get.
Or a lot of times, you know, you might have to make a few trips, but you get to know the people there, and they'll kind of give you a look one day, like, do you want to try something really good?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of restaurants in town have secret menus or stuff that just, you know, the insiders know about.
The chef special.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I find out a ton of it just by reading Yelp and seeing what people are saying, like, hey, don't order off the menu. There's some, you know, secret kind of stuff.
Nice.
Anyway, moving on. Let's go to Puro Peru, which is 8475 South State Street in Sandy. This has been 3 Peruvian restaurants in a row. Here's hoping that Puro Peru can hold it down. It was El Inti, and then it was...
the same space?
Yeah, same space. Yeah.
3 Peruvian restaurants.
It was El Inti, which was like a little more upscale, and then it was, I can't remember what it was, for like a hot minute after that, and now it's Puro Peru.
All right.
4 out of 5 stars after 2 reviews, but I need to give special cred to Melissa H. She is a native Peruvian, and she knows her stuff. So she says, the Taku Taku de Lomo and Taku Taku Puro Peru were both delicious, and the arroz con pollo was really flavorful. So if she gives it her stamp, I'm there.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
So we'll move downtown now. Good Dog, 4 out of 5 after 13 reviews. That's 30 East Broadway. We were talking about this a second ago. I think it's an old, gosh, what was it?
Like maybe
old,
a Quiznos?
Maybe an old Quiznos.
Or maybe a Pepperack.
Yeah. The fact is now it's Good Dog. Hang W likes a good hot dog, and he says, quote, they don't skimp on the toppings, so one dog can probably take care of you for lunch. So he took the SLC, right? They all have different names. He had the SLC, which is a Sabret dog, bacon, potato salad, relish, crushed potato chips, and other stuff all in a super soft bun.
All piled on that bad boy?
Pile it on, baby.
All right.
Pile it on.
I can get with that. And it's great to have a fast lunch spot downtown.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'll have to check the hours on this joint, but we have a lack of dog stands in downtown Salt Lake compared to some cities.
Yeah,
so
like we had...
We used to have a dude who was always there, and now he's gone.
We had a few dudes, yeah.
I love the taco carts, but it's nice to have a little diversity on the cart scene, you know? But so it's good to have a little storefront dog place.
Yeah, this is brick and mortar. A couple I want to talk about, really exciting. 4.5 out of 5 stars after 27 reviews. This place is brand new. R&R Barbecue is getting a ton of attention, a ton of love. I've eaten there. I'm one of the very few people who have eaten there once, because most everybody I know, they go once and then they keep going back. This 307 West, 6 South, right there as you get off the freeway. Kish M calls the brisket life-changing, says the freaking brisket, his words. It's slow cooked, tender, flavorful goodness. I recommend you get there early before stuff runs out because, you know, like barbecue.
Gets slamming. Right.
Yeah, barbecue, like, it's not like you just whip up a little more smoked brisket when they're done.
You lose a batch, it's
they're
gone.
Done. Right. That's it.
I'm very happy to hear this. I love barbecue, and we've had a slowly growing barbecue scene in this town, but I love the idea of locally grown barbecue
joints.
These guys are
2 brothers. They've been competition barbecuing for a long time, and they finally opened up a storefront. So you may have seen them out and about before.
Yeah.
They were there at like the barbecue.
Won the rib contest or something, right?
Yeah, over at
and now they're in that little, like, it's a funky little strip mall that used to be like a sushi joint where they are, right? But it's a little tricky to get to. I know that because it's on a one way, like it's on 6 South coming in or so. Yeah.
It is.
Worth getting to, it sounds
definitely,
like.
Definitely. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And get there early. And then another one I'm excited about. So last, what was it? When I was on in, I want to say November, December, we talked about Jewish delis.
Oh, yeah.
And since that time, we've had Feldman's Deli open up.
It sounds like it might be Jewish.
Definitely. Monica T. says, and Monica T., again, she knows.
She knows
she calls herself one of the more prominent Jews on Yelp.
Right.
Her words, not mine. She says, this is a small menu, but it covers all the Jewish deli staples. Matzo ball soup, check. Latkes, check. Ganishes, check. Pastrami, Reuben, tuna salad, check, check. Check. I've eaten there. I was there for breakfast. I had the gefilte fish. It was it's legit. And there's rumor, people. There is rumor that this summer they're gonna do like a boardwalk style Jersey dog, which is like a pizza meets a dog. It's like a half of a loaf of bread ripped open with like onions, dogs, sauce, the whole thing in there. So keep your eyes on Feldman's Deli. That's 2005 East, 2700 South. They're 4 out of 5 after 27 reviews as well. So both of those really well reviewed in a very short amount of time.
Nice.
A couple other ones that I just wanted to mention real quick. Verdeen's Gourmet Burgers is the new place inside of Piri Hotel.
Oh, nice.
Where Squeeze Box was
briefly
some stuff has been in there. It's like a gourmet, you know, like assemble your own burger kind of place. Just a few reviews. I can't vouch for it myself, but something kind of interesting. And then I also want to give a shout to Avenues Proper. This is a like micro doesn't do justice to how micro of a brewery this is, right? But it is 376 8th Avenue. So right in the avenues, they have 3.5 out of 5 stars after 9 reviews on Yelp so far. I haven't been there, but you know, very very interesting thing to have, you know, kind of a neighborhood
little brewery in the avenues.
That's
especially.
It.
And I've
That's
heard some it. Good things from some people who have been by. So and I've looked at pictures that look good on the food
definitely,
side. So,
definitely interesting. So we'll see. I mean, you give them a few weeks to, you know, get into a rhythm, stuff out. But I got a lot of hope for Avenues Proper. So.
Awesome.
That is just a smattering of the new stuff going on. I mean, you know, if we take every new place over the last 6 months, there's a ton. But I thought these were kind of some interesting, fun, exciting things going on in Salt Lake City.
That is awesome. And, you know, perfect new summertime. Get out there, check out some new joints, see what's what. And, you know, by the time we talk again, no doubt there'll be 15 new places to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Where can we find you out there in the world, Jeffrey?
Alrighty, so first and foremost and most important, you can download the Yelp app for free on just about any platform out there. Or you can find us online at Yelp.com. Find me on Twitter at Yelp Utah, Facebook.com/YelpSLC. Or, you know, if you want to check out my Yelp profile, I don't know why you would do this or why I'm even shouting it out, but I'm JeffreySLC.Yelp.com. Send me a friend request. We'll be Yelp friends, and that is...
Friend of the man. You'll be in the know, first and foremost, with
Jeffrey.
That's
it. I'll tell you what's going on.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, and we look forward to chatting with you through the next 100 episodes of the Soundwaves.
Huge congrats from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of Yelp to everyone over here at Slug Magazine and Soundwaves from the Underground. This is a great podcast. I really appreciate being a part of it for the last about year and a half.
Yeah,
congrats on 100.
Awesome. Thanks. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week of June 4th through June 10th. Yes, it's already June. Unbelievable. As always, you'll want to go to slugmag.com. Check out our listings every damn day of the week. There's always new stuff going in on there. Our writers are up to date on everything going on around town. And of course, you can put your own events in there for free or for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year. Add some quality content to your listings. On Tuesday, June 4th, I hesitate to recommend this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Alice Cooper at USANA is going to be a fine show. I was pleasantly surprised a couple years ago when I went and saw Alice Cooper for the first time. Basically, I was going on the recommendation of Kevin at the Heavy Metal Shop, and he was right. It was a remarkably strong live show. The downside? Marilyn Manson is also on the bill. I'm going to assume that guy's opening the show, and if you're lucky, you can just go stand off to the side and have some beers or just get there late or something, but Alice Cooper, I'll give that one a big thumbs up. Same night over at Urban Lounge, if you're into more of the rootsy music, as I usually am, Jay Nash is headlining. That'll be a fine show. His new album is called Letters from the Lost. It just came out in the middle of May. That'll be a good one. Wednesday, June 5th, a couple of pretty good shows going on. Over at In the Venue, Alkaline Trio, who have been coming through here for years. Great power pop punk trio out of Chicago. They dabble a little Satanism here and there. Always a good time. Fun shows. And then Mark Kozalek of the Red House Painters is playing at the State Room. Red House Painters, not necessarily always my cup of tea, but one year they did a whole album of Modest Mouse covers. It was really cool, atmospheric stuff. I'm hoping Mark Kozalek will play a few of those tunes that night. Thursday, June 6th, the Salt Lake Bees and the Fresno Grizzlies at Spring Mobile Ballpark. You know what's best about that? It's a thirsty Thursday, so you can get really cheap beers at Spring Mobile on Thursday, the 6th of June. Always a good time to have some cheap beers at the ballpark. Friday, June 7th, new issue of Slug, Everywhere Cool. Be sure to pick one of those up. You also have Andre Williams, the masterful soul rock guru that Brad Wheeler turned me on 2 years ago. He's playing two nights at the Garage, Friday and Saturday. The last time I went to the Andre Williams at the Garage show, the place burned down in between shows. So you might want to go to the Friday night show. That would be my recommendation. Last time, there wasn't a Saturday night show after that. Same night, A Hawk and a Hacksaw are playing at Kilby Court. At face value, kind of an odd group. one accordion player, one violin player. They make really cool music, and the accordion player is the former drummer of Neutral Milk Hotel. They're out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Also that night, it's the second of the Provo Rooftop Concert Series for this summer. This time it features Joshua James, Polytype, and J. William Henderson. That'll be a fine show, a good excuse to go to Provo in case you needed one. Saturday, June 8th, one of my sort of childhood favorites, They Might Be Giants. Still a great live band, always putting out quality records, always put on a great live show with their band. I highly recommend that if you've never seen them. Sunday, June 9th, one of the best Red Butte Garden concerts of the year and probably one of the cheapest as well. Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. Trombone Shorty is one of the baddest mofos out of New Orleans. He's a young cat, amazing musician. Again, the only downside to this show, Big Head Todd and the Monsters are also on that bill. That same day, you can go check out the Urban Flea Market at 600 South Main Street. Be sure to listen to our interview with the market founder, Kate Whedon, way back from episode 9. You can find that on our website. And then Monday, June 10th, Starfucker, regular visitors to Urban Lounge, they're coming to blow the place up with a little dance rock for you. As always, slugmag.com for your daily listing needs. Go check out what's happening all the time. Youth Choir are a hardcore band from right here in Salt Lake City, and they consist of our very own slug writer Dylan Chadwick, as well as Diego Brito, Chef Carlson, and Josh Slambert. The group put together their self-titled demo earlier this year. We're going to play a song called Make Bombs Not Bumper Stickers from that self-titled debut. Download the album for free, always a great deal. Visit them online at youthchoir.bandcamp.com. And for more information about the band, be sure to check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/youthchoirhc. We welcome in resident movie expert Jimmy Martin on our super special 100th episode. You've probably been here for, 25 of those or something
at
like
least
that.
Somewhere in there. I have no idea. Congratulations, though.
Hey, that's awesome. Pretty impressive. Most TV shows don't last this long, right? Thank God we don't rely on ratings.
Wait,
but
does that mean you get syndication? You can get, royalties for the rest of your life?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Is that how this works?
Can we work on that, producer Gavin, please? We're here to talk summer movies, and of course, as we talked about last time, summer movie sessions usually starts around February these days,
but we're
actually going to talk summer, so we're talking June through probably Labor Day time, and what's on your radar, I guess, for the big dogs, or we could even go chronologically here, because there's stuff coming every week,
We'll do it chronologically, and we'll go a little bit, because I think we got a little bit end of May to cover. Hangover 3 is coming. Todd Phillips, Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, and Ed Helms are back. Once again, and I'm really hoping, because actually as we record this, I'm going to see it in an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping, I've got good feelings for it, but because the second one was such shit.
Yeah.
It was just all they did was take the script. Well, they took the script from the first one and just crossed out Vegas and put Thailand.
Yeah.
And then this one, I'm hoping they don't just erase that and just go, okay, because now they're back in Vegas.
Right.
So it looks, like it could be good. John Goodman's in there. I like him. I'm so sick of Kim Jong, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, his 15 minutes were an hour ago.
I can't believe they keep relying on him so hard in these hangovers.
Yeah, you know? And sometimes he gets a laugh, but, like, I don't know. I think he was funny when he jumped out of a trunk naked, and that
right.
was about it.
In the first one, right. Like, that was it. A good 5 minutes on screen would have been solid.
So we'll see about that one, if it's good or not. So that's May 23rd. And actually, it's kind of a big week for that one, because then also same day come out is Fast and the Furious 6. They made six of these fucking
things.
I've read
a lot of good reviews of this one, and I'm not a fan of the series myself.
I've seen it. I've seen this one, so I'll tell you a little bit about it. I will say that this franchise has now become the soap opera of summer films. You've got, like, I thought you were dead.
Right.
And you have amnesia. And you, a twin brother, you know, it's just like, dun, dun, dun. Basically,
It'll go forever.
It's The Rock, which, this is like the year of The Rock, and I love everything he's been in, and he's hilarious in this one. So The Rock, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, I've ruined it, whatever, it's not that big a secret. The show in the fucking commercial, Michelle Rodriguez is back.
Yeah, she's back, right?
So, because we thought she died. She didn't. So,
for those of us who missed in between part one and six, she died along the way, but she's going to be back.
So basically, they are hired by The Rock, because The Rock was chasing them in the fifth one. Now they needs them to stop an even better driving crew.
Oh, shit.
It's got real now. And I love it because the other driving crew is really like the bizarro version of them. Like, they've got a muscly dude. They've got a hot chick. They've got, you know, a swanky, suave kind of guy like Paul Walker. And they actually say that. They're like, dude, what is this? Like, I'm like, the movie is so dumb that, like, I really, for these kind of films, I say turn your brain off. I'm saying turn off both sides of your brain, you know, because it is fun. And But my favorite part is, and it's not really ruined much, they chase this plane down on a runway, right? And the best thing about it is that I'm trying to be conservative. They're going at least 100 miles an hour. I'll be conservative and say 80. The scene's at least 15 minutes, or at least 20, I'd say. But I'd say 15 minutes long. It's the longest fucking runway I've ever seen in my entire life. So, like, it's good. Just retarded.
The longest since Argo.
And also, like, and they stop at the end. And I was like, where the fuck is the end of this runway? And also, like, the big X's are at the end. I'm like, shut up. You know?
There we go. Yeah.
So, it was good. You know, funny. It's stupid fun.
A fun summer popcorn flick, it sounds
like. Oh, for sure.
I heard Vin Diesel talking some Oscar shit on it. I was like, Oscar shit? You've got to be kidding, right? Like, for what?
No, not at all. No, it's certainly not writing, because the writing's awful.
Right.
But they already hint. I say stay through the credits because there's a hint to the next one. And I think they've already contracted 8 out now. So
they're going
to
catch up with Bond in like 2 summers.
Oh, yeah, right? So another movie coming out this weekend, Epic. It's kind of an animated film for the kids. I didn't think this was going to be that great. I already saw this one, too. It's not bad. It's cute. It's got Amanda Seyfried as a voice, Josh Hutcherson. It's about these little people that live in the forest and the grown humans find him and all this crap. But for a summer with Despicable Me 2 coming out and Monsters
University.
Yeah, and we'll get to that one. It actually kind of stands on its own. Not too bad. You know, it'll do
it
all right.
It can make some of that animation dollar until those come along.
May 31st, Now You See Me, which I'm excited about this one. This is about Vegas magicians. It's got Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo. Morgan Freeman. I think it looks fun.
Heist flick.
Yeah, it's a heist flick. I'm always down for a heist flick, especially Vegas. Come on.
Right.
Everybody loves a good Vegas heist flick.
That's right.
That's good. The next one, After Earth. This one I got reservations for. This is Will Smith and his son. God, can he work with anybody else that's not a member of his bloodline?
Yeah, that's right.
And so basically it's another, I'd say kind of like Oblivion we just had with Tom Cruise. It's after the apocalypse kind of on Earth. And so they crash land on it, probably from another planet, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And he has to survive. Here's the thing, and this is what I love about it. They're not showing his name in the trailer at all. Do you know who it's directed by?
No.
It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So, he hasn't had a hit in a while.
Well, his name recognition is just people will see on the screen and go, God. Like that. Oh, no. I mean, it's pure shit now, you know? So I think they're like, look, your name sucks. Like, you can direct a film, whether it's good or bad, but you know how to put one together.
We don't want you to drag this thing down before we even get started.
You know, because everybody's like, oh, Will Smith. Okay, I'll check him out. Oh, M. Night Shyamalan. Shit. You know? And so I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope for it. But,
it'll be a big test of Will Smith's power at the box office, right? If people will go see him and his kid at a little sci-fi.
What's the last one he was in with his kid? I mean, his kid was in the next Karate Kid one, but...
Yeah, and he was in
with Jackie Chan, but
right.
Oh, he was in the one in the Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, which wasn't really like a blockbuster, but, you know, whatever. We'll see. I'm just tired of them working, you know. Like, if his kid's in it, he's always a producer.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, check some other people out. Your kid's okay, but he's not that great.
Yeah, no one else is hiring him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? June 7th. Oh, God, this is The Internship with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. They just lost
it. I want to like him.
Well, I want to like him 15 years ago.
Right.
It's such like a just It's like a Google ad for 2 hours, you know? God, because it's about them being interns.
Hey,
at Google.
Do you remember the Wedding Crashers? Maybe you'll go see this.
I kind of be like, do you remember when they were funny? Yeah. Me neither. So
I know.
Also, that same day, Much Ado About Nothing, which is Joss Whedon's take on the Shakespeare's play. Haven't seen it. Had know some friends who saw it and said it's actually really good.
Yeah.
So excited for that one. June 12th, This Is the End. This is the one with Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel.
Oh, yeah.
James Franco. And if I've seen the trailers right, they're playing themselves.
Yeah, they're playing themselves, except like Michael Cera plays a total opposite of himself, version of himself. Right?
Yeah, it's all about the end of the world.
It's got potential.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not very often I want to see James Franco, but this I can see.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, James Franco, he's a coin flip on those ones.
Right.
June 14th, I'm excited about this one. Man of Steel is coming. Zack Snyder's take on the franchise. The next person who says that they want John Williams' score in there is getting slapped in the head.
Right.
I don't want John Williams' score in there because the second you hear that, you want Christopher Reeve's back.
Yeah, you know? Right.
It's a whole new world. Let's see. You've got General Zod in it, played by Michael Shannon.
Oh, nice.
And you got Henry Cavill playing Man of Steel, Mr. Superman, Clark Kent. And you got Kevin Costner and Diane Lane.
Oh, as the parents.
Oh, his mom looks hot.
That's right. Well, hot she's mom too Kent. Hot to be a Superman's mom.
Right?
All right. From everything I've heard on that one, it's sort of like, you know, he's getting the Christopher Nolan Batman treatment on Superman this time around, like the darker.
Well, because Superman Returns, a lot of people hate it. I didn't despise it, but it really was just an homage to Christopher Reeve's days. I want something different, and I want Superman to punch the shit out of something.
Yeah.
And if you watch the newest trailers, he does.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get, a lot of people are going to get the Superman that they've always wanted, where he just beats the shit out of people.
Right.
So I'm excited for
that one.
I'll
be curious to see how that one does, for sure.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think who else. Oh, Amy Adams is Lois Lane.
That's right.
So they look good. Looks pretty fun. Here's what I'm worried about. June 21st, World War Z. Looks kind of fun, but there's been so much kind of behind-the-scenes news about this film that they kind of fucked up the ending.
Rewriting, reshooting.
Yeah. Like, I think I heard a number like $400 million is the budget of this movie now because they fucked up so much. Yeah. I'm like, you guys are in some trouble. So it looks kind of fun. I don't know. I mean, I'll be shocked the day that a Brad Pitt film doesn't really do well.
Right, and it's kind of a Brad Pitt like passion project at this point, right?
Yeah. He was a lot of the force behind it, but...
Right.
You know, it's just, for people who don't know, it's the apocalypse of zombies and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Hit book. Right,
yeah, I haven't read the book.
I haven't either.
I don't think I'm going to at this point, but we're so close.
I want to see a $400 million fucking movie is what I want to see.
And I hope we're not a $400 million fucking bomb either. Then, like we said earlier, Monsters University. I get excited when Pixar does anything. Actually, Monsters, Inc. is one of the only films I've ever seen twice in the theaters in the same day.
Oh, nice.
Actually, it was like a roller coaster. I got off. I was like, I want to go again.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm excited to see the characters back. Billy Crystal and John Goodman doing the voices. Actually, Steve Buscemi's villain, he's in there too.
Oh, nice.
But it's all about them being in college, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It'll be the only time I see Billy Crystal in anything in a long time.
Yeah, God,
I can't remember.
Oh, no, he did, Parental Guidance?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was so bad. Him and Bette Midler.
Right.
Good. Let's see, June 28th, White House Down, which I love because we just had Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
But this is Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx having the White House burned to the ground, basically. Jamie Foxx is the president. Channing Tatum is, I think, a Secret Service agent. Like, he's applying for the job, and as he's applying, like, his first day on the job.
Shit goes down.
Yeah. So, hopefully he gets that job.
And then he takes
job.
His shirt off.
Yeah, of course
It'll
he
be
does.
A hit.
Of course he does. I mean, Olympus Has Fallen was fun. Oh, it was so fun.
So this one might be fun.
It was a turn your brain off and just, like, you know, that was Gerard Butler, if I remember right.
Right.
So, not too bad. Same day coming out, The Heat, with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the directed by the same guy who did Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So, I'm
That's, you know, like the counter-programming, so-called, like, female comedy of the summer, right? Try to recapture the Bridesmaids thing.
I like Melissa McCarthy. I'm getting a little tired of her.
Yeah.
But I hopefully... Because everybody fell in love with her with Bridesmaids.
Right, exactly.
Because it certainly wasn't Mike and Molly. And,
right.
And so hopefully the director can get her back on her feet and, you know, get her funny again.
Potential.
This one, a lot of people are talking about, it may bomb. July 3rd, The Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a Brad Pitt film and maybe a Johnny Depp film that may bomb.
Within
and
a couple
Will
weeks
Smith
of each
one.
Other.
I mean, all these guys, headliners, like, there's rumors that
Channing
all...
Channing Tatum rules the world, old dudes.
Yeah, shit, man. Like, time to just take a seat. But yeah, The Lone Ranger, Johnny Depp's playing, what's his name?
Tonto,
which is kind of weird.
And what is it, Army Hammer?
Army Hammer, yeah. And I like him. He was the twins in The Social Network.
Right, yeah. I'm just curious if people give a shit about The Lone Ranger. Like, I watched the TV show on reruns when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a long time ago, and I don't really give a shit.
I don't know. I'm I'm nervous about it. I mean, it looks cool. It's a Western, but you know, a lot of the things that these films make money on is overseas. And right. Westerns don't really do well overseas. Yeah. So
they're counting on Johnny Depp. I mean, they're definitely pimping him in it a lot.
Oh, yeah. And I love because they even had to, like, because everybody thought it was kind of racially insensitive that he was playing Tonto. And he's like, I'm like 1/16 and a half, right. You know, Native American.
I was given an honorary membership in the, okay, Johnny. Move back to France.
I don't think it works like that. But, okay. But same day also, and this might actually take away an audience from it as well because it opens the same day. Despicable Me 2.
Yeah.
That thing's got a huge following. Oh, those little minions and shit. Like, good Lord.
There's a reason they're putting that out on that big fat July 4th weekend. July 4th is a Thursday this year. They're going to be raking.
Oh, and see, Lone Ranger is a Disney film, and Despicable Me, I think, is DreamWorks, if I remember right. It's definitely not Disney, so they're going after them big time. So
interesting.
We'll see. July 12th. This is probably the film I'm looking forward to most. And it certainly is hell because it was the same day. Not Grown Ups 2. Fuck that movie.
Oh, God.
And it's stupid face.
They made 2.
Oh, God. And people are going to go see it. That's the problem. Yeah. They're making 2 because you saw the first one. Stop it. But Pacific Rim. It's the one.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro. And I love it. If anybody, I've seen him answer it like 4 times. If anybody says, what's Pacific Rim about? And he goes, it's fucking monsters punching robots. What do you fucking want? Right. And I'm like, that's all I want. That's all good. I want. It's like a fuck you, Michael Bay. This is what you were supposed to do with Transformers.
That's right. This is what it could have been.
But it's just
he's the most badass.
And I love that Charlie Day's in it. Like, he's somewhere
that's
in
great.
There. But nice. Yeah, it's just like a portal opened up in the ocean and fucking creatures come out of it. And so we just, instead of bowing down, you know, I think Godzilla, if you don't know what I'm talking about. But it's, and instead of just cowering and you know, running away, we build giant fucking robots to fight
some
back.
Ass.
So, nice. I mean, it doesn't get cooler than that. July 17th, Turbo, which is another animated film coming out. I didn't know what this was about. I just know it's about a snail.
Oh.
But voiced by Ryan Reynolds. I saw a trailer yesterday. It's about a snail who gets sucked into the engine of a car and he swallows nitrous oxide. So now he's really fast. And
he's
I was like, I'm putting $5 down that some kid's going to drink nitrous oxide and die. Don't drink nitrous oxide, kids.
Please.
July 19th. I'm actually excited for this one. It's Ryan Gosling and Only God Forgives. And I'm trying to pull up the director's name. It's the director from Drive. Drive was one of my favorite films. Nicholas Winding Refn. I can't say his name. It's weird. Anyway, Drive director.
Yeah, they did great together on that.
It was fantastic. And the teaser for this, gorgeous. Like, really? I'm already like, nominate him for best cinematography.
Right.
You know, I don't care.
Sign it up.
Yeah. same day, Red 2 is coming out. Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, John Malkovich as well.
It was a decent popcorn flick the first time.
I liked
it.
You know, I see the trailers. I go, I'll sit through it.
Right.
You know,
why not? Exactly.
What I do not want to sit through, another film starring Ryan Reynolds, a live action one with him and Jeff Bridges in RIPD.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
Yeah.
It looks like they're ripping off Men in Black. Like,
horribly. Exactly. And I love Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
It pains me to see him in a movie with the guy from Two Girls in the Pizza Shop.
Or But he's playing the role of True Grit. That's all he's doing. So
True Grit in space.
That's the thing. Men in Black is like aliens in space like that. This is about they die and they're like kind of like the ghost cops.
Right,
it looks
different era cops working together.
Terrible.
To solve crime.
July 26th. I'm excited about this one. The Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's coming back as Mr. Claw Man. It takes place in Japan, if I remember right. Taking on the Silver Samurai. Is that what it is? I think so. Looks good, though. Who knows? This plot line is that apparently some guy can take... He says, if you want me to take away your powers, I can do it.
Oh.
So it's a question of what does he really want.
Nice.
Let's see. August 7th, they're making another Percy Jackson movie. I don't know why. actually, another film I'm really excited about. August 9th, Elysium. This is Matt Damon, Jodie Foster, and Charlotte Copley. This is a guy who directed District 9.
Yeah.
And so
I'm excited for this one, too.
Do you know what it's about or anything? Or
Just the little shards I've read. But
basically, Earth is like shit. Like that. And so all the, like, I would say the 1%. So the 99% are down on Earth where it's all gross and polluted and you can't breathe barely at all. And the 1% went up to a space station called Elysium and they have like no cancer and like and they don't even use money anymore. It's like you just donate all
it's
your
ideal.
Money, and everything's just perfect, you know? So Matt Damon works at like a construction site or something, and he falls into this chamber and gets like radiation poisoning. And they basically say, you're going to die in 3 days, like that. And he goes, the only way you're going to survive is if you get to Elysium. So he basically like hijacks like a spacecraft and like goes up to get like, oh, it's amazing. It looks so good.
Nice. I love District 9 too. That guy was
good. He's great.
Good filmmaker.
The guy knows how to use a dollar. That's why I love that, because I don't know if you knew it. District 9 was supposed... He was raising money to make a Halo movie.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. And then the economy hit the shitter. And so they're like, okay, well, we've got like $40 million. What do you want to make? And so they made District 9 instead. Because a Halo movie is going to cost fucking $200 million.
Crazy. Yeah.
So that's what. So he knows how to turn a dollar into more dollars.
Yeah.
August 16th, excited. Kick-Ass 2 is coming. Yeah. If you want to do Kick-Ass 2, what's that? It's Aaron Taylor Johnson. Let me now hyphenate his name with his wife.
Yeah.
So it's not Aaron Johnson anymore. And Chloe Moretz.
Is Nicolas Cage back in this one, do you know?
No, because, spoiler alert, he died.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, I forgot about that. It's been a couple years. They waited a little while for that sequel.
But McLovin's coming back. Nice. And I think he's changed his name to the motherfucker. So nice. I think it could be good. And kind of lastly, wrapping up the summer, August 23rd, The World's End. The Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie.
Oh.
Yeah, that's coming out. It's about the end of the world movie. Man.
Yeah, right.
What are they trying to tell us, damn it? We got past the Mayan shit, so I guess we just have to
it's
keep doing
funny.
It.
It's kind of funny. It sounds like the big, you know, actors who have done blackbusters in the past are the ones who might be kind of like
it's gonna
falling
be
on their ass a little bit this summer in favor of some things like a Kick-Ass 2 or an Elysium or something.
I think the one that's, I mean, I wouldn't say guaranteed to be a flop just because I don't see World War Z making $400 million, you know, anytime soon. Maybe after DVD sales and whatnot, but
Chinese market open.
Exactly. I don't know. So, yeah, a Brad Pitt, a Will Smith, and a Johnny Depp films may fuck up.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Well, that is your most instantaneous rundown of summer.
Yeah.
Humanly possible.
I'm sweating.
That's right. As always, where can we find you out there in the cyber world and whatnot?
Everything you can find me on. Let's see. We'll start. You can read all my reviews in Slug Magazine.
Of course.
That's not really. Well, I guess it's cyber for the online. Let's see. So then you can do that. You can catch me on Geek Show Podcast every Monday on geekshowpodcast.com. I'm going to throw up everything.
Yeah.
You can hear me on KSRP 103.5 FM, The Arrow, every Friday morning. You can see me on KUTV 2 News this morning, every Saturday morning. Right around 7:30-ish. And then, what am I missing? Oh, Big Movie Mouth Off. With me and my buddy Jeff Feiss. Pretty much every week we put out movie reviews. And go like our Facebook page because we give out free passes to everything I just told you about.
That's right. I see that. Yeah, that's awesome.
So,
well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming in. And I'm sure come fall we'll have a whole new batch of potential blockbusters and clunkers to talk about.
There you go. And awesome. I will know whether all those films fucked up.
Brad career will be over. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
As always, thank you for listening to the Sound Waves from the Underground podcast. You've made it through 100 episodes, and so have we. Huzzah! For all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit slugmag.com every day of your week. We're going to have beer columnist Mike Riedel back in the studio soon to talk about the latest local beer news, and we'd love to hear what you've been drinking lately out there in Salt Lake City. Please either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or give us a call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan and technical design by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune back in for episode 101 when we talk about Spock's Skate Camp and Kenny Riches. Thanks for listening.